Talking with Kevin Good of Cattle Facts here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference in Denver. Well, Kevin, you presented your outlook report here this morning. And first of all, let's talk about the current situation and what things look like for the rest of the year here as far as the different segments of the industry.
Okay. It's, you know, we're exciting times here as we go into the second half of 2014. You know, we're enjoying record high values for all classes of cattle. And you know, the Fed market's probably the most challenging as you analyze that today because we've had a tremendous run-up over the last few weeks. The market, from a momentum indicator standpoint, is extremely overbought. Fed values as a percentage of retail are extremely wide. These would suggest that the Fed market probably has a setback as we think about the next few weeks. It's still going to stay historically strong, but here in this mid-160s area might be kind of a spot that we have some trouble pushing through or even maintaining as we through the second half of the year. Second half of the year still good, probably sell more cattle in the 150s to low to mid 160s than where we're at today. You know, the yearling and calf market, though, very well supported. You start with the yearling market today and trading about 220 on a U.S. average on a 7.5 weight steer. With grain values moving lower the way they have, the back end of the Fed board trading between 155 and 160, that does support about a 220 yearling. So they should be well supported going through the second half of 2014. Calf values, you know, we're sitting here about 255 U.S. average on a 5.5 weight steer calf. Again, lower input cost as we think about corn. Think about improved moisture conditions and roughage supplies as we go into the fall and winter. All those should be very supportive to calf values holding on at near present levels going forward, too.
The case that you made kind of at the front end of your address this morning, a very strong case being made for aggressive mama cow herd rebuilding.
Yeah, definitely the case, and you can look at it both ways. You know, cow slaughter year-to-date, beef cow slaughter is down 16, total cow slaughter is down 12. We think that trend continues through the second half of the year, even though seasonally cow slaughter picks up in the fourth quarter, but it will remain well below a year ago. So we're seeing it from that data point. On the heifer side, definitely seeing expansion there. Heifer slaughter year-to-date is down 7%. You can look at all the data points, whether heifers moving through auction barns, heifer placements, heifer on-feed numbers, and ultimately heifer slaughter, and it all suggests that we're seeing expansion on the heifer side. So when the year's all said and done, you know, we've got great profitability in the beef side, great profitability in the dairy industry as well. We think we could see the beef herd up maybe 300,000 head beef cows and dairy cow numbers maybe up 50,000 head first to 15.
It looked like, based on your numbers on the screen, about a 2 million cow advance or increase by, what, 2018?
You know, that's potential. You know, and again, you have to say that and quantify that it's a if, you know, moisture conditions stay as good or improve going forward. And that's always a big if because Mother Nature is such a big driver as we think about the cow business, and not only cow business, but also we think about input costs with grains in particular that, you know, we're thinking over the next couple of years grain values stay reasonable if we're talking about it from a cow production standpoint, and also feed roughage conditions stay manageable. So we have potential to increase this herd 1 to 2 million head, and I think Mother Nature's in the driver's seat there, but doggone, the profitability is there to get after it and expand.
And I guess what you indicated on the beef per capita, we're probably going to hit the bottom in 2015 and maybe a slight increase in 16?
That's, you know, from a biological standpoint, that's the math. You know, if we do have a bigger cow herd the first of 2015, you produce a bigger calf crop in 15, and therefore you could potentially have more fed cattle in 2016. So that's where that math comes from. Look for a little bigger supplies by 16 moving forward. You know, the wild card there is the trade. You know, if we can continue and build on our trade base, you know, that comes back and helps alleviate some of that increased production. And so longer term, I think that's really what we're dependent on, not only the beef industry, but also pork and poultry as well, as we think about expanding going forward, as we're going to be more dependent on the global trade.
You talked about the capital requirements that are required to operate in this environment. Are the lenders, bankers going to stay with us?
Well, you know, today, obviously, with this kind of profit potential or profit going on, yeah, they're sure feeling good about it today. But there's a lot of angst as you think about the volatility and the price levels and exposure. So as we move forward, I think there's going to be, especially in the feedlot business, a lot of lenders that want to have a closer handle on the individual operator's risk management plan and be maybe a little more in tune to that. Because as we think about it, when you got $2,000 invested in a fed steer or heifer and you know, the volatility that we've seen today, you know, if you move the market, you know, 12-15% from highs to low, we're talking about a $300 exposure. So it's tremendous, and because of that, you know, we would envision that we'll see more risk management in the future.
So you see these prices holding up pretty well in 2015, and even a slight increase possible?
You know, if you just look strictly at supply and demand, so the supply side of the market will have tighter beef supplies in 15. So, you know, assuming what you've done year to date is real from the demand side, you could make the argument that you should average higher in 15 than you do 14. And so that's where you start your base. You know, there's some challenges out there, and I think we all recognize that, as I illustrated, we'll have more pork and poultry production next year, so total meat supplies in 15 could actually be larger. And so there's some challenges there, or as we think about the demand side of the market with the price points between the different proteins. So, yes, the supply side does definitely feel like we can continue to average higher in 15, but there's some other factors out there that say, well, maybe we're getting about the top end of this range.
You alluded to the fact that we do have much cheaper corn, and the kind of the equation you put up there, cheaper corn means a higher feeder cattle values.
Yeah, it definitely does as you think about it, especially with escalating and stout Fed prices. You know, if you think about the futures, the back into the Fed boards trading 155, 160 in that range, and as you move corn values from a year ago at this time, we were in 6-6.5 range, and you know now on basis Omaha we're at 340. So it's a huge difference. You know, just the corn value itself, $3 a bushel. You put 60 bushels into a Fed steer heifer, that's a you know, $180 a head. So it's a tremendous factor as we think about feeder values, and it's a tremendous supporting factor for feeders and calves through the end of the year.